Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. You're listening to a radio show that will test the limits of a whole bunch of things we can't really say on the air. This is Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
All right. It is a minute after 10 o'clock. It's a Monday. It's August 22nd. The Rio Olympics wrapped up. Blue Jays are off today. Aaron Sanchez has been sent down. It's not the term I like. Optioned. It just sounds more positive. He's going to Dunedin. Get a bit of a rest. Work out. Take a break. He was going to miss his start anyway. Blue Jays, Angels tomorrow night. R.A. Dickey on the mound. And they'll meet for the first time this season. Lefty Tyler Skaggs goes for Anaheim. We're going to talk some NFL in a couple of minutes here with a gentleman who writes for the New York Daily News, Seth Walder. And as well, Connor McDavid will join us in hour number three. Joe Biagini from the Toronto Blue Jays has been pitching a hella good. He will also join us in hour number three. And this is hour number two, which means we're going to take some more of your calls here in a second. And the phone lines are completely full, which is great. What did you do this weekend? You probably watched The Tragically Hip. Well, a third of the country, if not more, did. I mean, that's what they can figure out. Did you go to Open Streets TO? Do you even know what that is? Our producers, Derek Brandeo, Travis McKenzie, did you guys go to Open Streets TO? Derek, were you there? Were you on the street, but were you sleeping on the streets or did you go to open? You were there. Okay, so Open Streets TO is where they close Bloor Street and Yonge Street for an extended section on Sunday. I think they do it a couple of times a year and you get to go and do a bunch of activities and it's fun. So if you hated it because you couldn't get where you wanted to go, then it wasn't that much fun. But if you loved it because you got to walk on the street without getting hit by a car, then it was a lot of fun. And you could bring your kids probably if you have those. Unless you got hit by the train derailment on DuPont. That happened on the weekend. Or by the 80-year-old lady who crashed her car into a house at Jane and Shepherd. 80 plus. She might have been 87 for all we know. We're taking your calls on, look, it's a sports talk station. We know that. We're going to talk more Blue Jays in a bit here. We're going to talk some NFL. Next segment, we're going to take your calls on Sanchez being optioned. But right now, before we talk some NFL, we're taking your calls on the weekend and a band that transcended music to become part of sports. Because if you went to a game in any arena or any stadium in Canada, chances are they played The Tragically Hip at some point during the evening's proceedings. Let's go to Bill in North York. On Saturday night, The Tragically Hip wrapped up a 32-year career from what we can tell. I'm hoping they do another show for some reason. Maybe I'm dreaming, but Bill, you watched, and how did you feel, and how do you feel today?
I'll be honest. I'm not a big Hip fan, but I did watch it, and it was very emotional. I mean, Canada's going to be losing a very big band. And, you know, just by watching the show, I wish I was a Hip fan earlier on, but now I am a Hip fan, but it was, you know, you hate to see it go this way, you know.
Yeah, well, and why did you get emotional?
You know, you hate to see anybody leaving the industry due to a health issue. You know, I mean, I don't wish anything bad upon anybody, but you know what, he probably could have still rock on for another 20 years.
Yeah, and he's not going to now. And it's just, you know what, for me, and thank you for the call, and we'll get to a few more here. For me, as someone who's known these guys for a long time, you know, you meet people in your lives, and they have an impact on your life. And every person has an impact on your life in a certain way. And some of them are positive, and some of them are negative. And, you know, you can meet people that are in tough situations, and the way that they show resiliency in those situations can impact how you deal with your own tough situation. You know, we're going to go to Twitter. Curtis, quote of the day, at Radio Vendetta, which is my Twitter handle, can you explain why the hip are so important? Not a troll question. I appreciate that. Why are they so important? I think they're so important because if you talk to any athlete that's from Canada, and we know that Canada has Drake and Justin Bieber, Shawn Mendes, who played last night, sold out the Air Canada Center. Canada, proportionately speaking, has more successful musicians than any country in the world, per capita. If you look at number of albums sold, well, when albums sold, so number of streams now, or number of tracks sold, Canada, and I don't know this for a fact, but I'm fairly knowledgeable on this. The rest of the world looks at Canada and doesn't even think of the artist as Canadian. And I mean that in the most complimentary manner possible. Because the artists are global, but the Tragically Hip never became global. And this is why they're important. Now, they played in other parts of the world, but they were always so Canadian when they did it. When you saw them in Chicago or Philadelphia or France, and you walked in that room, you knew everybody, even though you hadn't met them before. That's what the Tragically Hip are. It's pretty simple. It's all very simple. It's all about what's in your heart and emotions. Chris Luco tweets in, 11 million people watching, but there were thousands of people at street parties watching as well. I bet it was 2 out of 3 people. We are going to go to Tommy in Guelph. Tommy, you're on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, 10:07 on a Monday. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing well, Joey. Thanks for having me. How can we talk about anything else, eh?
Well, if you're one of those people that just likes to be negative and obstinate and contrarian, then you can sit around and complain about it. But I don't really care.
Yeah, no time for that. And the last dude who called, I mean, who wasn't a Hip fan, I mean, that's kind of like I don't know what Ali used to do. My mom used to watch Muhammad Ali. She never liked violence or anything, but it was, you know, people's kids and families were out Saturday night watching these guys do their thing. And so I made a week of it. I wanted to get up to Bob Cajun with my 15-year-old son fishing. We couldn't get a spot anywhere near there. The closest we could get was Rice Lake. So up we go. And God love them all. The whole week, you know, we're listening to the whole Hip deal, man, and all the different medias that he can pull off, right? And he's a Hip fan now, so we make it home to Guelph because I love Guelph, and I know they're doing the thing downtown. And about halfway through, Joey, well, not quite halfway through, I went home. I live close to Guelph, and I just wanted to be alone in my chair and kind of like. Well, what you said, you were backstage at one of your buddy's concerts there, and you were as intimate as you could get probably at that point, right? And you just, oh, man, I cried, I smiled, I loved it. And here's one thing that really touched me about an old neighbor of his. I read this in the Globe or something. A neighbor of his said, you know, he helped him get a cat out of his tree one time, and then he played hockey for him. He said, I need a goalie. Like tonight, and Downey said, well, you know what? I'm a goalie. I'm not a goalie, but I play goal. And sure enough, he goes and plays goal at the local rink. Imagine that. Come on, these guys never looked for any fame or anything. Like you said, I never saw them out of the country. I saw them in Hamilton once years ago. But the way you described how they play in Chicago or those towns, oh, man, that's heavy.
I appreciate your call. We're going to take a couple more calls here, and then we're going to talk some interesting stuff with the NFL. And, of course, we'll get to some Blue Jays calls also this hour and talk about Aaron Sanchez being optioned and what you think this means going forward for Toronto in terms of available pitchers. Look, as it stands right now, this is something that it's a smart move. At this particular moment, it is a smart move. team's fine for the next week, 10 days, 12 days, but they're in an incredibly tight race. We know this. It's going to go down to the wire. And the advantage that they have over other teams in the AL East, well, specifically Baltimore, is the pitching, the starting pitching, and Aaron Sanchez was a major part of that. If not the most important piece, certainly top two. Look, Stroman pitched incredibly well yesterday, and we'll hear from him later on, and John Gibbons. But sending Sanchez down at this particular time makes sense, as much as it's going to drive you crazy for the moment. But look at it short, long term, and by that I mean 10 days from now when he comes back rested, hopefully rejuvenated. I imagine they might skip another start or two, I would think. But all that matters is that he pitches the way he has for 95% of this season when the money's on the table. Let's go to Dave in Toronto. Dave, we're going to wrap up these Tragically Hip calls, and you watched the show. How did you feel? What did you think of what you witnessed on Saturday night?
Well, it was actually, there were two different perspectives. First of all, we went to the CNE band show, and, you know, we wanted to share it with, like, thousands and thousands of people, and they had some technical glitches, so it almost got a little violent, which is kind of ironic. But it was just beautiful to see. It was almost like you're at the concert when you're sharing it with thousands of people. The other thing that impressed me from a personal standpoint is about 40 years ago, my grandmother had brain cancer. And when I saw him and the strength, it reminded me of her when you'd see her down and out, and then you'd see glimpses of, you know, this is the old grandma I remember. And so I was amazed about how well he performed. I would just assume he would have been tired and exhausted, and I'm sure he was. But so I had kind of two sets of emotions going through that whole thing. You know, it hit me personally as well.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard earlier, and thank you for the call, but when I was on with Blundell just before 9 o'clock with George, I lost it because it was just, you know, as I said, you meet people in your life and they affect you in different ways. And Gord is one of the guys that affected me in a certain way. And, you know, you have other people that you meet and they just make a mark on your life. And when someone you don't know personally, like Gord is for you, if you're listening and you haven't met him, he makes an indelible mark on your life. But if you get to know the person, then it just takes on a different type of meaning. So we'll talk to Scotty Upshaw in hour number three. He was there at the show, so I want to get perspective from an athlete and what the band meant to him. And he's in town for this BioSteel camp going on. We'll also talk to Connor McDavid. But right now we are joined by a gentleman who writes for the New York Daily News. He's the Jets and Giants reporter. His name is Seth Walder. You can follow him on Twitter at Seth Walder, NYDN. I highly recommend it. And Seth, thanks for doing this. How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm well. We're talking about something that as an American you may not know about. There's a band called The Tragically Hip that are very big in Canada, and the lead singer has a very, very, very difficult and incurable form of brain cancer, and they did a tour in the last 6 weeks of the country and sold out arenas, and it was the hardest ticket ever, and they did their show on Saturday night, and it was broadcast on the CBC, and even Eddie Vedder and Pearl Jam, when they played Wrigley to tie in baseball on Saturday night, basically gave a shout out to him. So that's what we've been talking about, that amongst the Olympics and a bunch of other things this morning. So just to give you a little context of the conversation that we're having.
Gotcha. Thank you. No, I didn't. I didn't know that. I'm sorry to hear that, but that sounds pretty amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty heavy. The guy performed Saturday night, final show ever. I think it was about 8,000-9,000 people in their hometown of Kingston, Ontario, and the Prime Minister of Canada was there. The, you know, tons of athletes who were friends of theirs, and guys on stage, and he has terminal brain cancer, and he gives the performance of his life, and then leaves the stage. So something that I can't find precedent or compare. So I just wanted to kind of fill you in on that, and maybe you can do a little research and read up on it, because there's some really great articles and touching articles on Gord Downie and the Tragically Hip. But let's talk about the reason I wanted to get you on the air. And look, the NFL is ramping up, and as we move forward, whether it's the Le'Veon Bell and his suspension being reduced by a game, and then him tweeting something that he's since taken down, saying that he smoked pot after he wasn't supposed to smoke pot, or whether it's the Tom Brady thing where he's done for four games because he finally got tired of appealing, and the PA, the NFLPA may appeal. But your article on Josh Brown, who was suspended for one game because his then-wife declined to speak to the league, caught my attention from the standpoint that it seems to me that the NFL is not out of control, but bordering very close to being out of control on so many levels, and it's disheartening to see.
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating the way in which you know, discipline is handed down by the NFL, and I say it because it seems like from the outside they're just spinning a wheel, and it just comes up one way or the other. Because you know, there are a lot of difficult and issues when it comes to this. But the NFL has decided that it is going to levy discipline. It can levy discipline even in the case where players have not been convicted. They will supersede the law in that way. That precedent has been set. So once you are there, I don't see how, when you read the accusations from Josh Brown's ex-wife, how you come up with a one-game suspension for that. From a PR standpoint, from a human standpoint, that seems very, very bizarre, I think. And I think that's what's caught the attention of football fans and of Americans.
So I'm going to give some context here for those of you listening, and it's Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and our guest is Seth Walder from the New York Daily News. And on the afternoon of May 22nd, 2015, Josh Brown, who's a kicker for the Giants, and his then-wife Molly, she was making brownies in the kitchen while he was talking on the phone with a credit card company. But according to a victim statement from Molly Brown to King County authorities, what followed after Josh Brown entered the kitchen moments later was another disturbing case of domestic violence. I'm reading from your article. No charges being ultimately filed against Josh Brown stemming from that incident, but Molly Brown telling King County authorities that her husband had been physically violent to her on more than 20 different instances over the past several years. And when the NFL launched the investigation, the probe was ultimately compromised when she declined to meet with league investigators. This has happened in the past where a woman that was assaulted or said she was assaulted, was violated in some way, and then doesn't come forward. I think it was the Greg Hardy incident, if I'm not mistaken, where she was either paid off or they came to some sort of compromise. But she didn't come forward here. And Seth, what happened to, do you know what happened? Can you speculate on what happened to change her mind?
I can't speculate onto what changed her mind. I mean, firstly, I think there's a difference between, you know, wanting to talk to police and wanting to talk to NFL investigators, though, of course, NFL investigators certainly could read. She gave a long interview a few days later with a detective and someone from the court. So that's like a 58-page document, which I've read, and you can read that too. You know, they could read that too. I think, you know, in terms of why she won't talk, you know, we know that the only thing we know is that she's had some continuing ongoing relationship. I don't know what that means, but according to the prosecutors, with Josh Brown, I don't know what the nature of that relationship is. But, you know, certainly, you know, they do, of course, you know, have a child together. But, you know, there's a lot of reasons why this might happen, but it doesn't change the fact that she gave a statement at, you know, the day of his arrest, which said that, as you mentioned, the 20 or more, times that he was allegedly physically violent to her. And then she followed that up with a long interview about some of those past incidents a few days later. So you know, that evidence is there, though the prosecutors determined they could not go forward with charges.
And how much is this shall we say, par for the course with the NFL, who, when we Ray Rice doesn't really get anything until there's a video that shows up on, right, if I'm not mistaken, the opening day of the NFL season last year, right? TMZ hung on to it for ultimate effect. And it's a video that shows up and all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. The NFL has a very interesting way of prioritizing domestic violence versus when you look at the inflation or deflation of footballs. And it's kind of something that, look, Roger Goodell is not doing this for his own image. We know this. When you make $45 million plus a year, as he does, you're not really concerned with your image. Part of your job is to take a beating. And in an era of social media confluence, the beating is going to be more and more instant. It's going to be concurrent, and it's going to be more severe. And I guess that's his job. But when you alienate, and you know, because, you know, in New York, a team like the Giants, which hold big sway with the NFL, there's a lot of backroom politics involved here, whether it's Robert Kraft or whether it's, you know, the Mara family. The bottom line is that the NFL has a lot of backroom dealings that we're not privy to and will never be privy to.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, that's true. I mean, I don't know how much that they could have, you know, whether that played a role in this case or not. I think it's just more, I mean, we can look and see that just the precedent for the way the NFL has handled domestic violence and just its discipline in general has just been so random. And of course, when you compare things like this to deflating footballs or to smoking marijuana, it seems crazy, of course. I think this entire incident, of course, yet again should, you know, a bad light on the NFL. And I think it really has been a very bad look for the New York Giants, who said, who Ben McAdoo, when he was hired, said, was asked, what won't he tolerate from his team? He said domestic violence. And what are they doing? At this moment, they are tolerating, alleged domestic violence. And, I think it'll be interesting to see whether the Giants ultimately decide to cut Josh Brown or not. But they had the choice. They re-signed him this offseason. They knew what he was accused of doing, and they went ahead and re-signed him anyway.
Well, and again, it's funny because you as you said, and before we let you go, the interesting comparison, I guess, and if you're just joining us, Seth Walder, NYDN, the Jets and Giants reporter for the New York Daily News. You know, you look at what happened this weekend with Brian Kelly and Notre Dame. Notre Dame is not scared to send a message to players, and now this wasn't domestic violence, but, you know, a bunch of players arrested in two separate incidences involving marijuana possession, a gun without a license, battery on a law enforcement officer. So there was violence involved. These guys are suspended and they're off the team. And, you know, one of the guys was going to be their best defensive player. So, you know, Devin Butler, I believe the guy's name is. So you can handle things in different ways. And it just seems like the Giants are, as you said, Coach McAdoo and general manager Reese are kind of like, we don't want to talk about this right now, right? You know, Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo refused to comment on the situation.
Yeah, and to be, I just want to be clear one thing. They cannot, per the CBA, they cannot suspend him further, right? That's the league's responsibility. But they can cut him. That, of course, is up to them. And they also have the option of whether to re-sign him or not. Yeah, I think it is strange, you know, when Ben McAdoo says after the game, he said everything he had to say about the matter. Well, when he spoke about it prior to that, before, there was a lot less information out there. At the time, it was just the only thing that was known was about Josh Brown allegedly grabbing his wife's wrist and the arrest. But at the time, we didn't know about the accusations of 20 prior physical incidents. So to say that you've said all that you had to say at that point is pretty damning, I think.
Seth, thanks for being on the program. Greatly appreciate you.
Thank you very much.
Seth Walder from the New York Daily News at 10:25. It's Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Gary Cook tweets in, "Don't stop, hashtag the hip talk for hashtag NFL bull S. H and then a little star and a T. So we'll get to some more hip talk And we'll get to some more Blue Jay talk as well here, as the Jays, of course, off today. Joe Biagini is going to be on the program, and Aaron Sanchez being optioned to the minors for his own good has been discussed. We will talk about that and more in the next segment. We'll take some of your calls, but it seems like everybody wants to talk about the Tragically Hip still. And you're welcome to call in and talk about how you felt on the weekend, and even in a sports context, because as I said, the Hip had so many songs that were played at sporting events and none that outshone 50 Mission Cap. I mean, how many times did you hear that song? Right? Especially if you're a Leaf fan. I think it was a theme song for the Leafs coming out on the ice for a long time, as I recall. Especially during the Doug Gilmour era. I talked to Doug briefly, and he said that he was going to the show. And I'm sure it was incredibly emotional for him, and Kirk Muller must have been there. I imagine Dan Aykroyd. And it's just hard to talk about. It is. Corey on Twitter, at Crimson Shadow. It's a blessing to see a farewell tour than to lose Downey unexpectedly. Gets to go out of his way, and we get to show our love. That might be the best tweet I've gotten. That makes a hell of a lot of sense to me. As much as I couldn't handle going, I'll be totally honest. I could not handle going. It just was something that, and you got to think about this. Now, the show's over. The show is over. And Gord goes home and the band goes home. And so what are they doing today? I'm sure they're talking about how amazing the tour was. But now they got to live life just like we do. We'll take some more calls next. We'll talk some Blue Jays. But if you want to chime in with the Hip, we're not going to hold it against you. But I think we have to get to the Dangle dial here. And this is a guy that's a... I don't really...
Oh no, not another Dangle dial. The Dangle dial is brought to you by Panago Pizza. Something for everyone.
Hey guys, just calling in. Still on vacation. You jealous? You should be. No, I'm kidding. That's rude. You know what? Usually around this time of year, because I'm a crazy hockey fan, I start to really miss hockey, okay? I get homesick from hockey. Does that make sense? But this year, I'm trying to rest up because it's about to be crazy, okay? Do hockey fans really know what to expect, okay? We're about to get the World Cup, okay? And that's going to be nuts, especially here in Toronto, because it's in Toronto. It's going to be nuts. And, I mean, one of the teams that isn't even a country is probably going to win, and we're going to laugh about it, and it's going to be crazy. Then, NHL preseason. Oh, okay, holy smokes. After the big bang, it's the warm-up? Okay, I guess. But then after that comes the regular season. Oh, okay, well, it's the regular season. It comes every year. Not this regular season, because it's the Leafs centennial, and it's going to be crazy, and they're going to have an outdoor game in Toronto, and there's going to be four outdoor games around the league, and they're all going to involve the Chicago Blackhawks somehow. You just know that's going to happen. And once the regular season is done, it's the playoffs again, and then it's the NHL awards again, and then it's going to be the draft again. We'll see if those happen every year, but not the expansion draft, because that is coming too. So I got to ask you, are you itching for this season to begin, or can it take its time?
The Dangle Dial, brought to you by Panago Pizza. Live, love, and eat fresh pizza. Check out the Steve Dangle blog at sportsnet.ca for Steve's videos and podcasts. We're going to take a break and return. He's been rescheduled. We'll be joined by the best young hockey player in the National Hockey League. You can argue the point, but it's going to be really hard. When we come back on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now more of the Jeff Blair Show with special guest host Joey Vendetta on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
It is 10:38. 22 minutes in front of 11 o'clock. High of around 25 today. Partly cloudy all day. Tomorrow, 26. Wednesday, 27. Possible showers on Thursday. What are we talking about today? Bunch of different stuff, including Aaron Sanchez being optioned to single A. Blue Jays tomorrow. at the Rogers Center against the Angels for the first time this year. On the mound, R.A. Dickey, a guy who gets a lot of flack. He's 8-13, right? The thing with R.A. Dickey is, yeah, he eats a lot of innings. And the other thing is, his ERA, which at times looks bad, well, it's usually because he gets a blowout loss tacked on. He pitches well in spurts, and you just got to hope that that's what you get tomorrow night, especially now that Sanchez is not available for a minimum of 10 days. So if you have R.A. Dickey on the mound, that means Russ Martin, who's been on a tear lately, never mind Upton celebrating his birthday with a smash. Tough way to lose yesterday. Really tough way to lose. But again, that's going to be the environment going forward. We'll talk some Blue Jays. We're going to talk Blue Jays now, but we'll save that for later in the show before noon. Of course, Baseball Central will talk a bunch of Blue Jays. But right now, we're joined by a gentleman who is participating in the BioSteel Hockey Camp, and that is happening at St. Mike's. Ton of NHL players, including this guy, Connor McDavid from the Edmonton Oilers. Connor, thanks a lot for doing this. How are you today?
Very good. How are you guys doing?
We're okay. Well, we're okay. I'm doing well. You know, it was a little emotional earlier, and you're a young guy. You're 19 years old. So you growing up, the tragically hip probably mean something different to you. And if you want to follow Connor on Twitter at CMCDavid97, CMCDavid97, I want to get your take on Saturday and the hip and growing up. Again, you're a young guy, but the hip to you, what do they mean? Did you watch on Saturday? How did you feel?
I was trying to watch. I was with all my good buddies, and we were just at our friend's house. And I kept trying to put it on. You know, of course, they wanted to watch the fight, and I kept saying we're missing a little piece of Canadian history, and they didn't seem to understand it. So I definitely did watch a little bit. It was amazing. I think my dad is a little bit more upset than I am, but. You know, I definitely tried to tune in, but my friends had other plans. So
let me ask you a question. You mentioned your father. You said your dad is a little more upset than you are. Did your dad express that to you? What did he say to you?
They were actually in Collingwood at the Village there, and they watched on the big screen. So there was a bunch of people there, and you know, the Village was basically packed. And you know, I'm not sure what a big hit fan he was. I know he definitely was a little bit, but, you know, he definitely enjoyed the show.
So you talk about your dad. How old is your father, by the way?
52.
So 52. So he's right in the wheelhouse of somebody that grew up when the band was making their names for themselves. And you, I noticed on Twitter, you tweeted, and I'm sure you watched a little bit of the Olympics, and being a prominent Canadian athlete who plays in Canada, you understand what it takes to get to the level that you're at and those athletes are at. But Penny Oleksiak, you tweeted to her, what a way to make history with the gold. You watched that, and did you watch any of the other events? Did you watch DeGrasse and Usain Bolt become best buddies?
Oh, of course. I'm definitely a huge sports fan, and I definitely did not miss a day of the Olympics. And first off, the Oleksiak thing was amazing. I mean, for someone to be so young and to be, you know, that good and you know, do that well at the Olympics is just amazing. And obviously the grass and what he did. And you know, my favorite, I think, was the high jump. And Derek Durin, that was absolutely amazing. He was dominant. So I definitely enjoyed the Olympics. I'm very sad that those are over, but Canada did so well.
So you get to do a lot of fun things. And before we talk hockey and the Oilers and the BioSteel camp, you get to do a bunch of fun stuff. But one of the things I saw you do this summer was you got to go to the Rogers Cup and hang out with Milos Raonic. What was that like?
That was very cool. You know, I'm very lucky to be able to do, you know, things like that. And, you know, Raonic was such a good guy. And, you know, it was obviously a very busy time for him with the Rogers Cup and being Canadian and all that. So it was very nice of him to take a little bit out of his time and talk to me for a little bit, which is always nice.
So you're part of the BioSteel camp, and a bunch of guys that are there, Mike Camilleri, Taylor Hall, who is no longer a teammate of yours. We'll talk about that in a second. But Tyler Seguin, Wayne Simmonds, and Delzato's a captain of one team. I know that Max Domi's there, Darnell Nurse, Dylan Strome, and a bunch of other guys as well. You get together for 3 days starting today, and 3 or 4 days, and you get to be at St. Mike's and train together. I think you've done it for, if I'm not mistaken, a couple of years now. You started when you were 17, if I'm not mistaken. But you guys get to play in front of some special guests, including Make-A-Wish Foundation kids and families. Talk about the camp and what you think it does for you and what the experience is like.
Yeah, this camp is great. I mean, it does so many good things. But first and foremost, I think it's most important that, you know, it's good training, and you're with a bunch of other elite hockey players, and you're on the ice with them. And it's very competitive. We play a tournament on Thursday, and it's always very competitive. I think last year, my team with Mike Camilleri and Taylor Hall, I think we won 2-1 in the finals, which is so unlike any other, summer skate that you would see. So I think that's all good, and it kind of gets you ready for training camp. And other than that, I mean, there's a lot of good things that go on here. There's always a lot of young kids out, and you mentioned Make-A-Wish, all that. So there's a lot of good stuff going on here at St. Mike's this week.
So Matt Nichol is a guy that used to be the strength and conditioning coach for the Toronto Maple Leafs, and he works with John Salenza on BioSteel. And when they started, I've known these guys for a long time, when they started, it was really just the one product, the powder, the recovery drink. And now it's morphed into a bunch of different things, including protein bars and different products that they do make. As an athlete, talk about what it does for you and how important it is to fuel up before and what you need to do to recover after.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. I mean, what they've brought it to is absolutely amazing. I was actually in China earlier this summer doing the BioSteel launch in China, which I thought was absolutely amazing. And to see it become this big, it's pretty special. It's for an athlete, it does so much. And I think the main thing is it's 100% natural and you know exactly what you're putting into your body. And with the whole steroid issue going on, kind of around the world of sports, I think it's good. You can 100% trust and know that what you're putting in your body is all clean and good. So other than that, it just allows you to recover from a good workout and feel great the next day. And obviously the whole drink to think, which is their kind of main drink, is the pre and during the workouts. I think it just keeps you going for longer. And now they've added in these bars, which are a huge benefit to an athlete. But overall, it's just an overall great product.
Connor McDavid is our guest. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, he is on Twitter at CMCDavid97. And you're talking about the product and recovery and as far as strength and conditioning. And look, you're 19, so you're probably still growing. So I imagine you have to be pretty conscious of what you put in your body. When you're 30, it's probably a little bit different, right? But you use BioSteel stuff, which is all kinds of nutritional products, and they have sugar and caffeine-free sports beverages, no artificial flavors. We know how important that stuff is. As an athlete, how conscious are you of exactly what you put in your body? Are there ever times where you've been confused about the type of nutrition, or someone's told you about something? Hey, you got to try this, man. It keeps your energy level up. Has that ever happened?
No, actually, I'm very lucky that hasn't happened. It's very confusing. I mean, there's a new list every year of stuff that's prohibited, and half the stuff I can't even pronounce the name of it. So, it can be very confusing. But I'm very lucky to work with BioSteel and work with Matt Nichol and Gary Roberts, all guys that are known to be very clean in what they suggest to put in your body. And so I've never been put in a situation like that. But for sure, you're very cautious of everything that's going into your body. Whether it's meals or supplements or anything like that, you're very conscious just because you don't want anything bad to happen on a drug test or anything like that. So it's good to be 100% sure. And with BioSteel, you definitely are.
So before I let you go, and our guest, Connor McDavid, really quickly, now that you've been in the league and you got time under your belt, you're still 19, which is incredible, but the experience of your first season, you had ups and downs, you get hurt, you go through all kinds of different emotions. Describe the season that you had last year and what you think you learned and where you think maybe there's areas for you. I mean, look, we know you're a fantastic hockey player, very high skill level, high compete level. You're a big body. You can skate. You can do all those things. Is there an area that you learned last year that you need to improve upon?
Yeah, definitely. It's in the D zone. It's those big sentiment in the West, especially the Pacific Division. Down low and trying to contain those guys. I think it definitely is a lot more challenging than I'd expected. And it's an area that I've been working on tremendously. Over the summer and through all of last year, and I'll continue to work at it. So you definitely want to be that full 200-foot player, and as a young guy in the league, you definitely want to earn your respect in the D zone.
And one last question: some changes on the team. Taylor Hall got traded to New Jersey, and you picked up Adam Larson, who's a guy that many people were questioning the deal from the standpoint that Taylor is obviously a guy that's well known in Canada, and we know what he can do. Adam is a guy that seems to be a puck possession guy and very good 5-on-5. And you add him to a group that includes another guy that played for the Devils with Mark Fain, and we know Darnell Nurse, who I believe is also at the camp, is a guy that's going to come on this year. Picking up those guys, and then you've got Milan Lucic as well. What do you expect, and along with Patrick Maroon, who's another big body that you picked up from Anaheim, what do you expect this year in Edmonton?
Everyone has definitely high hopes this year for our team, and for good reason. There's been some good additions, and obviously losing Taylor hurts, but Adam is a great defenseman. He's someone that is so underrated. You don't understand how good he is until you've actually played against him, and I've played against him a few times, and it's definitely not very fun. So obviously Lucci speaks for himself, and he's such a big body, such a presence. Probably the toughest guy in the league, and I expect that teams when they come into Edmonton aren't going to be looking forward to it as much as they have been in the past. And we're definitely going to be a hard team to play against, and we're going to have some skill to back it up. So, I'm definitely excited about it.
Do you think playing with Lucic is going to make you a couple of inches taller?
I definitely will. I won't be stupid about it or anything like that, but definitely feel a little bit safer out there knowing he's got your back.
Did you ever have any run-ins with him when he was playing for the Kings?
Luckily, I never did. I tried to stay away from him as much as I could. So, lucky for me, I didn't have any run-ins with him.
All right, last question. World Cup of Hockey coming up in September, and you're playing on the Team North America, the 23 and under. It's going to be pretty interesting to see because you guys have so – it's amazing. Here's the thing I've noticed is that there's so many younger, high-skill players coming into the league now than ever before. What do you expect in the tournament, and how much are you looking forward to that?
That's going to be a very good tournament. It's going to be highly competitive. It's the best players in the world. So, for our team, it's going to be about defense and being responsible in the D zone. Offensively, I don't think we're going to have any trouble. So, it's just going to be about keeping the puck out of our net. I'm very excited about our team that we have. And we definitely don't have too much pressure on us, which is always nice. So, can't wait to get it going.
Connor, thanks for doing this, and good luck this season, pal.
Thank you.
That is Connor McDavid, number 97, from the Edmonton Oilers, part of the BioSteel camp. We're going to take a break. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, hour number 3 coming. We will talk to Scotty Upshaw, who's also at this BioSteel camp, and we're going to talk to him about his experience Saturday night in Kingston, Ontario, watching the final Tragically Hip show, and also talk to Toronto Blue Jay relief pitcher Joe Biagini. That and more of your calls when we return on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.